Well, good morning, First Humble. Good morning. Right on. We're alive. How are we doing today? We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to go and turn there in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at some really powerful, amazing truths from the Word. On this first Sunday of the new year, I just want to wish everybody Happy New Year. I'm glad that you've allowed me to be here. It's already started out to be a great new year for me. I have a stable platform to preach from, okay? Didn't realize before how important that really is, but your church helped me with that, so thank you for that. So, hope everybody's doing great. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at primarily at verses 17 through 21. Let me try to get all my stuff together here, and then we will jump in. Will you read with me, beginning in verse 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amazing, amazing truths given to us from Paul through God's word this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we love you, and we are so grateful that we are in 2025. Thank you for granting us a new year, for granting us life. We praise you. Father, we desperately need you this morning, though, as we start this new year and try to focus in on your word, our lives, your mission for us, and what we should prioritize in this new year. But we need your wisdom, and we need your presence and your power. Thank you for your promises to never leave us, to never forsake us, and always being our God. We praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we did finally make it to 2025. Congratulations to all of you. Young people here aren't going to get this, okay? But I'm 57 years old, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm just a little bit bitter. Glad to be here in 2025. But I've been waiting all my life for flying cars and jetpacks, right? We don't get any of that yet. And I'm just telling you, I'm still waiting for flying cars and jetpacks. We were promised these things, and we don't have them yet. What we do get, though, this year is a brand new administration in our government. I thought that would get an emotional rise out of you. But more critically for you, First Baptist Humboldt, you get a brand new church building this year. Yeah. What a cool thing. What a cool thing. You guys have waited so patiently, and you've given so faithfully for all this time and trusted the Lord in this way. And look what he's done for you. I just want you to know, for our association, it's very, very excited for you. I was here when you guys broke ground that day. I'll never forget that. It's just a great moment, a really good moment. God's incredibly good. But don't you just love fresh starts? You love that? Okay? We all know there's nothing really different about January 1st than any other day on the calendar. But there's something that's really therapeutic about thinking about a clean slate and just leaving the past behind. How many of you have got New Year's resolutions already that you're starting to work on? Yeah, a few of you. That's right. Most resolutions, if you think about it, revolve around becoming some sort of a better person. Maybe eating healthier, making wise choices, better time management. We all kind of struggle with different things, okay? Be that with air. Nothing wrong with resolutions anyway. If you're like me, though, most of them probably fall off sometime in February. Start going away. Again, nothing wrong with them, but a lot of the resolutions that we bring in arise from our own insecurities. Think about it. We eat healthier, we work out and exercise because maybe we're a little ashamed of our body. There's an insecurity there. My hope for you, First Baptist Tomball, is that 2025 is a better year for you, not because you're about doing better, but because you actually understand now who you are in Christ and the mission that he's given every single one of us to be a part of. This is something that's giving your remaining years on this earth true, lasting purpose. That's a good thing. So in our passage today in 2 Corinthians, Paul is kind of in a bit of a pickle. He's in a bit of a pickle. He's actually struggling with some in the church in Corinth who are actively opposing him. In fact, he even refers back to them in verse 12, and he describes them as those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. These guys, whoever they were in Corinth, wanted to judge Paul based on worldly standards, okay, rather than things of the heart. And Paul says, no, you can't do that. You're a new creation. Because these outward appearances that his opponents are trying to write him off and hoping to sway the other believers in the church in Corinth against Paul. So that's the setting for where we're at this morning. In verse 17, he starts with therefore, which refers back to verses 14 and 16, where Paul tells us that all believers have died with Christ and no longer live for themselves. No longer live for themselves. That means that our old nature, the old sin nature that we had, has now been nailed to the cross with Jesus. It has now been buried with him, and just as the Father raised Jesus up into new life, so also you have been raised as a new creation to walk in newness of life. Language that's probably familiar to you from your baptism, if you recall. Okay? This is a physical picture of a spiritual reality of what's happening to us when we're being baptized. And it's that new person that was raised up is who Paul calls a new creation now in verse 17. New creation. He says that the old has passed away. The old. That means that our old sin nature, the things that were part of that, things like pride, things like love of sin, sinful habits, and, you know, patterns and things like that, reliance on works, that's a big one. And one that every one of us in this room have always struggled with, the supreme love of self. That's the one that gets us every time. All of these things, he says, have been nailed to the cross and have passed away. The old is gone. That means that me, old Daryl, is gone. He's dead. He's not here anymore. And praise the Lord for that. Because to be honest with you, I didn't really like that guy very much anyway. I'm glad he's gone. I'm now in Christ. The new has now come to me. Praise the Lord for this. That means I'm no longer a slave to the things that seem to sort of define my life before Christ. Not only am I not a slave, I no longer really want to take part in any of these things anymore because I realize what a trap they were. An absolute trap. See, Jesus came in and made me a new creation, and he changed my want-tos. I no longer want to be doing any of these things. I see the world very, very differently now. In fact, there's things that, just on a daily basis, little things that I can look at now that cause me to just stop and praise the Lord. That's weird for my old nature because I was oblivious to all those kind of things. Change me. It changed the way that I have a new kind of love towards friends and family. And even though it's imperfect, I'll be honest with you, it's imperfect, but yes, even towards my enemies. My big thing in 2025, we've all got our thing, don't we? Mine is drivers that cut me off. God bless you if you're one of those people. Here's what I'm trying to do. Instead of getting angry about these people, I'm trying to allow God to change my mind and my heart to instead of saying something bad against them, to recognize that they're probably very lost. They are supreme lovers of self, and they have a very different destination than I do. My job is then to pray for them instead of getting angry. That's a work in my life that's going to hopefully take hold this year. That's what I'm asking the Lord for anyway. We've all got our things, don't we? We've all got our things, and that one's mine, okay? But if you're here in Christ, everything I'm telling you about this new reality is also your reality. This is who you are, okay? And anybody here that knows this can testify, having lived on both sides of these realities, there's no comparison. It's not even close. This is infinitely more better than before. Infinitely more better. This is what Paul is trying to and convince the Corinthian church to understand about themselves, who they now are in Christ. Because they're a new creation, that means that they don't no longer get to judge others based on external circumstances and characteristics, things like education level, giftedness, physical attributes, finances, clout, connections, all the things that the world would use to deem whether this person is worthy or unworthy, things that are of the flesh. We don't get to do that anymore, okay? We now become more interested in the unseen characteristics of the heart rather than any of the visible markers that the world would deem to be important. This is one of the effects of you and I being reconciled to God. It's a great thing. And the church, the Big C church, should be exhibit A, ground zero for this to the world as an abnormal witness in this regard. See, the world expects the wealthy to hang out with the wealthy. They expect whites to hang out with whites, Hispanics with Hispanics, and so on and so on. This makes sense to the world. But our witness as new creations should flip that completely on its head. As believers from all stripes hang out with all other believers, regardless of any kind of external characteristic, be they economic, condition, race, or anything else. This is the kind of thing that confounds the world. It confounds the world. They can't make sense of this, and they pay attention. They notice these things. In fact, Jesus even tells us in John 17, this is how the world will believe the gospel. When they see us in the church loving each other in this way, that's how they know that the gospel is true. Those are the words of Jesus himself. Kind of important. Kind of important. So I just want to remind you this morning, FBC Tomball, that your primary identity is rooted now in Christ. Not what people think and not what people say about you. You are no longer defined by your past. You are now defined by the finished work of Jesus on the cross for you, making you a brand new creation. That is a good place to say amen. Good. I also want to acknowledge something else, okay? For some of us in this room, 2024 might have been one of the most difficult years we have ever experienced in our life. This is true. This is true. If this is you, I just need you to hear very clearly this morning. God sees you. God sees every detail that's going on in your life. And he is for you. You need to know this morning that you are loved. You are loved. You are adopted. You are whole and you are secure. Let's start from there at the beginning of 2025 versus any of the insecurities swirling around us that tend to sort of define our lives. Can we do that? It's a good place to start. Great place to start. So, you, friends, are a new creation. Praise the Lord. And yet, we still sin. What's going on here? If I'm a new creation, if the old is gone away, why in the world am I still struggling regularly with sin. Is it just me, or does anybody else in here struggle with this, wrestle with this conundrum? Anyone? Absolutely. You and I, we're funny people. We're sheep. We still get suckered into the same lies, the same false promises that captured our attention as unbelievers. The same things still capture our eye. We still live in a fallen world, and sin is still strangely alluring to us. It's still alluring to us. Theologians have a word for this. They call this indwelling sin. Indwelling sin, or sin that has taken up residence inside of us. Paul talks about this actually in Romans chapter 7, where he says, I see in my members another law waging war against my soul. Waging war against my soul. And genuine believers can despair about this when they stumble and fall into a sin or fall into some sort of repeated sinning pattern. Some even going so far to think, I'm no longer saved. Somehow I've lost my salvation. If this describes you this morning, you're here, I'm glad you're here. There are two things I want to say that I want you to laser focus on this morning. Can we do that? Two things. Firstly, just as this indwelling sin is waging war against our soul, you, dear believer, must make war against sin. You must make war against sin. And this is a fight that is going to last until you take your final breath on this earth. It's just the way it is. This is how the sanctification process works for every single one of us, okay? While there's no such thing as sinless perfectionism with anybody who claims to know Jesus, you are required, underline that word, you are required to fight against sin. This is our role. Now, the new creation that he has made us to be has given you and I every tool and every power that we need to be able to fight, okay? But friends, you are the one that must fight. You must do the fighting. Paul hated his indwelling sin, and we must as well. The problem is when we start thinking that, well, you know, I've just been struggling with this particular thing for so long, I'm never going to have victory. It's just not going to happen. It's just who I am. We start defining ourselves by that. Or even worse, we get to a point where we're like, I'm so far gone, I don't think Jesus even cares about me anymore. These are two lies that the enemy wants you to believe today. He wants you to believe this about yourself. The evidence of being a Christian is not that there are no defeats in this war, okay? Not at all. But that you keep fighting until the promised victory has been given to you. See, that's one of the evidences of being a Christian, is you stay in the fight. But you must fight. You must fight against sin. Number two, I just want to point out to you, based on our passage today, that God has already reconciled you to himself. Past tense. It is finished. Done. These things have already happened. In fact, knowing that you would struggle with that particular sin on January the 5th, 2025, knowing that, he paid for that sin 2,000 years ago on the cross. Is that a good word or what? Is that a good, encouraging truth or what? Question for you. Is there any sin that you can think of, any sin, so powerful that the blood of Jesus just didn't have enough power to cover on the cross? Anything? No. He paid for them all. He paid for them all. Friends, this is an incredible truth, and I hope it encourages you today. And it is the reason why you can have victory. Okay? Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. Because certain people can hear that and go, hey, this is great. I just found a loophole for sinning. God loves to forgive. I love to sin. This is a great relationship. No way. Refer back to what I said before. You must fight against your sin. God hates your sin. He does not wink at your sin. He does not somehow get you like we hear in the lyrics of so many country and western songs on the radio today. No way. He hates your sin, and your sin is deadly. And friends, if you do not fight against your sin, it will destroy you. Full stop. It will destroy you. And if you don't hate your sin, that could be a check engine light telling you that something is deadly wrong. Something is deadly wrong going on. A changed life no longer looks like the rest of the world. In fact, you and I ought to be a living billboard for the world to come. This is what our lives need to be. But victory, you need to know, victory can be yours because you have been reconciled to God through Christ. What a great truth. Which brings us to the remainder of our passage. So read with me, beginning in verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What a powerful truth. Powerful stuff. Truly amazing. Reconciliation happens when two parties are brought together who have been relationally separated from each other. So let's think about this. At some point, you and I were lost. Lost. We were without God, and we were without hope in the world. That defined us. That was our reality. But God, in his mercy, reached out to us and accomplished our reconciliation. Not by ignoring our sins. He does not do that with anyone. Not by ignoring our sins, but by not counting our sin against us. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. God is holy. We just sang it. I think I counted about 38 times. Holy. That we sang the truth about God just a minute ago. I heard you. I believe that. We all believe that. God is holy. God is just. How can a holy God not count my sins against me? That's a great question. Great question. And the answer is the cross. God already counted your sins against Jesus. Just as we see in verse 21. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that you and I could be the righteousness of God. What a powerful truth. What a powerful truth. Yes, that includes that sin that you're struggling with on January 5th, 2025. Whatever it is. I love it. Great things. This is why we praise our Lord of what he's done for us. And this reality should motivate you and I because not only did he reconcile us to himself, he's now turned around and given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. He has empowered us, he says, to be his ambassadors. What is that ministry of reconciliation? It is the gospel. It's a good little thing that you guys should probably do in church. It's a good little test you can do with each other. Just kind of randomly walk up to each other sometime. You're believers, right? You're all part of the same community of faith, same covenant community. And just ask each other, hey, John or whatever, tell me, what is the gospel? And have him explain it to you. I was shocked one time when a pastor asked me that. I'd been a believer for 20 years, and I just sat there. And I answered the question. I used to be a missionary with the IMB for years and years. Didn't have a problem answering the question, but he said, you paused for a minute. Why did you pause? I said, it stunned me, the fact that I've been a believer for 20 years, and nobody has ever asked me that question. Nobody has ever asked me the question. He said, you'd be surprised when I ask the question, the answers that people will come to. People have been in their church their entire lives cannot answer correctly the most fundamental question to our faith. What is the gospel? It's a good test for each of you to do to keep each other on our toes. What is gospel? That is the ministry of reconciliation. And when we open our mouths to share this message of reconciliation, it's God who's making his appeal through us to lost sinners that he wants to save. So again, let's just think about the progression of where we've come from. Lost, going to hell, without hope. God made us new creation. New creations with our sins forgiven. Then entrusting us and somehow elevating us to the position of an ambassador. This is bonkers. Think about an ambassador. When you think about it, there's no such thing as an ambiguous ambassador. No such thing. An ambassador knows full well who he or she represents, and an ambassador knows full well what their job is, what they are to do, and what their marching orders are. No such thing as an ambiguous ambassador. So my question to you, Tom Ball, is very simple. How are we doing in our ambassadoring in this area? How are we doing? How are we doing? Who in your life needs the message of Jesus? Who in your life can you think of that needs to be changed into a new creation that only Jesus can bring? Who would that be? You got that person in your head? There's a reason you see the same people on a regular basis. God does that on purpose, and he's entrusted you with the message of reconciliation to those people, whoever they are. They're in your head. It's not his responsibility or hers or mine. That one's yours. You are an ambassador. My prayer for you in 2025, Tom Ball, my prayer is that you would continue to make war against sin in your life, whatever that is. Continue to make war, but that you would also experience freedom and joy and understand who you really are in Christ. That is your identity, not what people say about you. And that 2025 would finally be the year that we stop pursuing the things of this world, which are so fleeting and will never satisfy you. Never. It's why you want more and more and more always. It just doesn't satisfy. But then this freedom and joy might propel you to step into your mission and be the ambassador that he has entrusted every one of us to be. In fact, I'll just pray that now. May that be so for every single one of you in this room in Jesus' name in 2025. Would you pray with me? Father, we do love you. Thank you that, wow, you have entrusted knuckleheads like me and other people in this room with a message so precious. Father, forgive me for being an ambiguous ambassador and not fully understanding who I really am in Christ and succumbing to insecurities and falling into different sins and whatnot. Father, forgive us. Forgive each one of us. I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart that you've reached out and reconciled us to make us new creations. Thank you for the truth of your word. But as we look forward in 2025, would you put in front of us always what is most important? What will we prioritize this new year? We're grateful that you've allowed us to get here. Grateful for the gift of life. Father, you do your work in our hearts to make us the ambassadors you've called us to be. We praise you. We declare that you are God and there is no other. And we say it together as one voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If there's anything that God may be working on you, maybe it's that sin, and we all have them. We're going to have some deacons up here that you can pray with. Remember the power that you need to break through that sin that comes from him, and that comes through prayer. So I want to encourage you, don't slink back. Come talk to some of these guys about this. You need that prayer in your life. You need to be broken and those chains to be broken. Maybe you don't have any idea what we're talking about at all when it comes to a new creation, because that's not your reality. Why not change that this morning and become brand new year, become a brand new person? Something that no New Year's resolution will ever beat anything like this. This is absolutely changing and absolutely eternal. And I want to encourage you to follow through with that. Again, we'll have some deacons up here at the front. You do business with the Lord right now. God bless you.